Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K-Routes 11 at 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I know we won't be here on Friday because it's Christmas Day, so I'm just going to slip in on my own. Stock up at Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right. Coming up next week, Jack Ham on Tuesday, previewing the Tax Slayer Bowl. Mark Weiser, Athens Statesman, previewing the Georgia side of the Tax Slayer Bowl. We'll also have Chris Solari on Lansing State Journal to preview Michigan State, Alabama. We'll have Dick Girardi on to preview the Big Ten basketball season. Then on New Year's Eve, we're going to have a roundtable discussion with former Nittany Lion Trey Bauer, Todd Sadowski, Kerry Stroh, myself. From the Blue White Tailgate TV show, we'll all be talking about Penn State football and the Tax Slayer Bowl and what is to come. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day, and this is a special one, courtesy of the University of Florida.
Waiters near sideline, giving the ball. Here we go. Holds. Looks, gets into Durant out front. KD, played by Mbamute, 8 seconds. Stutter steps right, pulls up, pops. Anger right, 18-foot jumper, drops! Thunder lead by one! Kevin Durant rises, rips the cords. 199 Thunder with 5.8.
And now I'm going to play and you the right one.
Sure.
Or at least I'm going to try. Here we go. Let's try this one.
Here's a young man that does not have a point yet as a Gator.
Zach Hodgkins, got it! Wow.
Does that count as the commentator's curse right there?
Do I get the assist?
I think you do get the assist for that one.
Well, we all know how much we love Zach Hodgkin.
Born without a hand. And he scored in a college basketball game last night. You know, we do so much about winning and losing and drama and fines and suspensions and, you know, and then there's something like that. All right? That won't be the two biggest points that they'll look at in the history of college basketball, but you know what? For him and for his teammates and for his coaches and for his family and friends, that's the two biggest points they've ever seen. Born without a hand and scored in a college basketball game. Special. Very, very special. All right. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, joins us. On this, Tony, the 43rd anniversary of the Immaculate Reception.
Wow. 43 years. Yeah, That's a long time, and people around Pittsburgh talk like it happened a couple of weeks ago still.
yes, as Dr. Billy said to me today, he said 200,000 people claim they were there.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, that number gets bigger and bigger every year.
All right, Steelers on Sunday. Fall behind, don't have a lot going for them. What did they show you as to how they came back and beat Denver?
Well, the thing that impressed me the most, was the ability of the defense to all of a sudden start to make stops, start to get off the field on third down. Denver went 8 straight third downs, without missing a beat. They converted 8 straight in the first half. Some of that had to do with the fact that Brock Osweiler, got knocked around a little bit and was playing hurt. He got hurt at the end of the second quarter, and he was not the same quarterback from that point on. Now, that's not to dismiss what the Steelers defense did. I think every defense in the league will tell you it's a feather in their cap if they can get to the quarterback and either knock him out of the game or bang him around a little bit. Not that you want to hurt the guy, but most defenses certainly take pride in getting to the quarterback and laying a good lick on him, and they were able to do that. You know, and again, the offense just continued to sort of play their game. And I think when the defense would get off the field, it simply gave the offense more chances. So I think a lot of it had to do with, honestly, with Osweiler not being the same quarterback that he was in the first half. You have to give the defense credit for making that happen.
I know it's been at times an up and down relationship with the fan base for Ben Roethlisberger, of which he has created. I mean, let's face it. I mean, he's responsible for his own actions. But is there a growing appreciation in Pittsburgh that he truly is one of the great quarterbacks they've ever seen?
Yeah, you know, I think there is. And you know, what you say about Roethlisberger certainly rings true. And Steve, I think a lot of the fallout from the behavior in Georgia and all that stuff that came before it, I think a lot of that has even dissipated. But Ben still brings a lot of that on himself, but with the drama he creates, even in situations that don't need to be dramatic situations. Every injury ends up becoming an ordeal. Every coaching change, every assistant coach that leaves or is retained or is not retained ends up becoming a dramatic thing that somehow involves Ben Roethlisberger. That's the way he is. That's the way he's always been. But I think the fact that he continues to perform on the field, I think the fact that he plays hurt, plays through injuries, plays well when he's hurt, I think all that stuff has kind of, like you said, caused a bit of a grudging respect even from his detractors. I think there's a lot of reasons that people frown sometimes or roll their eyes when the microphones appear around Ben Roethlisberger. For some reason, it seems to be that, you know, the kind of a thing where that's what the package is. You know, people talk about him on the field. He holds the ball too long. Well, that's probably true, but you don't get the touchdown pass in the Super Bowl to Santonio Holmes if he doesn't hang on to the ball, quote unquote, too long. And I think it's just like that with the off-field stuff. It's the whole package. For some reason, Ben Roethlisberger has to create drama about every injury and about all the little things that happen to be who he is, I guess. And I think Pittsburghers and Steeler fans especially are starting to accept that as, well, you know, you got to take the whole package with Ben. And at the end of the day, on the field, it's a pretty good package. I think it does help, too, that the off-field stuff has dissipated to the point that he's apparently, at least from the outside looking in, has settled down and become a lot more of a respectable family-type guy.
I mean, to be honest with you, because Manning's been hurt, you have to, at the moment, take him out of the mix. Tony, I think there are only two quarterbacks in the NFL right now that I think know where all 21 of the other chess pieces are in the field at all times. Now, I'll say this. I'll say Brady knows where all 21 are. I think Manning, when he's been out there, did. Ben, I'll say, knows where 19 out of the 20 are because he'll make an occasional mistake. But there are no two quarterbacks that are in the 19-plus knowing where every chess piece is at all moments, and he's one of them.
That's been the biggest part of his progression. Ben Roethlisberger has always been so instinctual. He's always been he's so strong. All the physical attributes, haven't changed. In fact, they are on the decline at this point. But that part of his game has absolutely matured. I think you have to give Todd Haley some credit for that. I think Ben has bought into everything that Todd Haley has been teaching, and I think you've seen that. Obviously it's manifested itself on the field, but I think the area where you're talking about, the mental part of his game, is where it's changed the most. And you're right, he still will make mistakes sometimes. Sometimes there is that edge to him that he's going to gamble even when maybe he knows he shouldn't. And some of the worst interceptions he's thrown this season, you're right, he probably hasn't known where the other 21 pieces are. He's missed a guy here or there. He's missed a linebacker. He's missed a safety on occasion. I don't know what happened at the end of the game last week. I think that was just a downright awful play by Roethlisberger. It was one of the worst interceptions I've seen Ben Roethlisberger ever throw. But you know what, though? He's got himself to the point where the defense, that's not an issue for the defense. He's bailed the defense out enough that they probably felt like they owed him one, and they were able to come out and make a stand. But I agree, he's playing the best football of his career, and it's probably more of it is because of what goes on in between, in between the years than outside.
Steeler fans are about as savvy a fan base as there is in football. That's why for me to sit there and say how underappreciated is Heath Miller would be an ignorant statement. Steeler fans exponentially appreciate him. Mm-hmm. But here in the twilight of his career,
Now, to stick his nose in the way he does with everything, what kind of appreciation, Tony, do you have for him?
Well, the guy, first of all, is, you know, one of those guys off the field that is, when I say off the field, I guess I should say, I deal with him in football-only situations. So it's after he steps off the field at practice or whatever the case may be. But he's always been as class a guy as you can find. He talks to everybody, answers every question, no matter how silly the questions may be, entertains them all just like, just like it's coming from a 30-year, beat writer veteran. Entertains all the questions. But yeah, you're right. Watching him, not only, what he does on the field physically, he's as good a blocker as he's ever been. He's as willing a blocker as you're ever going to find. But what he does with the other tight ends and the other receivers and all the guys around him, he makes sure he is the best teammate he can possibly be. And I had a chance to talk to him shortly after Jerome Bettis got inducted into the Hall of Fame. And when I asked him about Bettis as a football player, he didn't mention anything about Jerome on the field. He talked about his rookie season, the only year he played with Bettis, and how Bettis wanted everybody, treated all his teammates the same, no matter whether they were a first-round pick or whether it was the last guy signed, to the practice squad. These are all guys that were going to contribute to the team, and he said that is, how I try to treat everybody. And I think, at the end of his career here now, as it does wind down, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a guy who would disagree that that's how Heath Miller's career has played out.
All right, stretch run time. They've got the Ravens this week, and it's a completely different Ravens team that beat the Steelers earlier in the year.
Yeah.
In your estimation, how different, and then how do the Steelers have to be different against them?
Well, I think one of the biggest things going for the Steelers is, they've got Ben Roethlisberger on the field. That was the first game he missed last time.
Right.
I think the game plan was far too conservative, and I think the Steelers would even admit that now, even without Roethlisberger, it was too conservative a game plan. So I think that put them behind the eight ball. They were dealing with a kicker who couldn't make kicks at that point, so now they've got a kicker who they can at least trust to give them a fighting chance to make some kicks.
Yeah.
And boy, at the end of the day, the Ravens then had lost a bunch of close games. They were dealing with some injuries, but this is a shell of what the Steelers have seen over the past decade, probably more. Since Flacco went down, you felt like they at least had a fighting chance when Flacco was playing. It seems like the spirit was taken out of that Ravens team when Flacco went down. So John Harbaugh has, in my opinion, a lot of work to do to get his team, ready to play these last couple of games, because they seem like a beaten team right now. And turning that around can be really, really difficult. I don't know that the stadium is going to be that full. I think there's probably going to be more black and gold in that stadium than there usually are. And I think that's going to be a little bit deflating. All that said, though, Steve, Mike Tomlin's teams over the past 4 or 5 years have been known for two things. One, they win in December, but two, they lose to inferior teams. And
yes,
that really hasn't happened this season. They've got two inferior teams left on the schedule, and they cannot afford to have a letdown now. So to me, it's going to be interesting. Tomlin skirted the issue when asked about a letdown. But boy, it would be unbelievably deflating to see this team stumble here at the end of the season.
This is a little bit different than playing the Raiders 2 years ago in October, as opposed to controlling your own destiny with 2 weeks to play.
I certainly think it should be, and I guess we'll find the answer out to that question about 4 o'clock or so on Sunday. But yeah, I certainly think it should be. And again, this team this season has seemed to, they've avoided that for the most part. They've had bad losses. They've lost to teams that, when you look at the rosters, yeah, maybe they should win those games. But this team has battled through a lot of self-inflicted wounds early on with the drug suspensions of Bryant and Bell, and then a lot of just a ton of injuries at bad, inopportune times. And they've battled through them, and they've fought every game, and they've managed to find a way to somehow even keep the defense from completely falling apart. So I think this team is a lot more stable than the teams of the past, and maybe Mike Tomlin will tell you that maybe they've learned from those experiences in the past. I guess the only way to find out is to fast forward here to January 4th and see what they do against Baltimore and Cleveland. But I think it's a good point you make. I would like to think that, yeah, because their own destiny is in their hands, and because the writing is plain as day right on the wall right now, what they need to do, there'd be no reason or no excuse for a letdown.
Well, happy Festivus to you. I know you have varying grievances against us, Tony, so this is your opportunity.
You know what? I'm in good shape right now. You've treated me very well, and I appreciate it. Thanks for a great year, and have a great weekend and safe travels to you. I know you're going to be moving around quite a bit over the next week or so.
Hey, Tony, I enjoy having you on the show every week. I can't thank you enough. You give our fans great insight, and I just personally like talking to you anyway. Thanks so much.
Always enjoy it. Thanks.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, back with more from Las Vegas in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line a few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
You know, on the air, I was only kidding about the airing of grievances. Off the air, that's all I've been hearing.
Sorry, you opened the door.
You have a lot of issues.
If that surprises how many people.
They're supposed to make a ruling today on Odell Beckham Jr., and I'm not sure what they're going to do.
I cannot fathom them lifting this.
Okay. Let's explain, though, the fine line they have to draw here. All right. There is no question, all right, that he's dead. He's absolutely wrong. Okay? Fair enough. He's absolutely wrong. But what provoked him? What were they doing to provoke him? And I don't mean just with the bat, but with the slurs and so forth.
Oh, I don't disagree with you. I think there's seriously some issues here that go further than just with Odell Beckham. There needs to be more that comes down to this.
But it's also a fine line. Remember where we are in society right now. Slurs are not supposed to be used in the workplace at any time. Ever. Slurs aren't supposed to be used in any kind of conversation. Ever. Well, in the NFL, this is their workplace. What are the homophobic slurs that are alleged to have been thrown at him? Now, how Beckham reacted to it? Absolutely wrong. But do you just heavily fine him versus suspending him? Now, they fine Norman. He's been fined. See the kind of tricky little area they're in with this right now? It's a little trickier than you think. What seems so automatic on Sunday now becomes trying to navigate through a little bit of a rocky shoal here, public relations-wise.
And I understand where you're coming from, but Steve, what do you teach young players at any sport? If somebody does something to you, do you retaliate? No, because the one that retaliates always gets the penalty. You always
right.
have
Agreed.
To keep your composure. And that's where, although I agree with you, there needs to be some punishment here on both sides of the football on this. The suspension for Beckham, I have no problem with because of the helmet contact.
I didn't deliver an opinion. You didn't hear what I said.
No, I'm just following what you're saying. I'm not disagreeing.
No, I said, if he's not suspended, there might be some reasons why. I didn't say I'd still suspend him.
All right.
But I'm saying it's a trickier little proposition for the NFL than just, all right, because the NFL is a very I think it's safe to say, as a business, a very politically correct business. How about that?
Absolutely agree. But to me, the helmet contact, I don't care what provoked it, that's the suspension to me.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That was a long news break.
I don't know. I thought Catrillo went the normal amount of time.
They weren't listening to what I was listening to. I didn't hear a lot of Catrillo. I thought Matt did a great job telling us about the needy family fund and why certain groups need help. On the other hand, I was a hostage listening to someone's Festivus rants.
Well, we were talking a little bit about the punishments in the NFL, and I said one of the dumbest things the NFL does is throw offsetting unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. It serves no purpose at all. There is absolutely... So let's say in the Odell Beckham incident, when both guys were pushing and shoving and it was getting out of hand the first time, they would have done a flag and done offsetting personal foul penalties for unsportsmanlike conduct. What purpose does that serve?
I don't know.
None. Zero. There's no punishment there. It's like, we recognize you are doing something you shouldn't be doing, so we're gonna call you out. Okay. What I like about the NFL, or about college football, when you get an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty for a personal foul, unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, it's a mark. You get a second one, you're done. Now, all of a sudden, that offsetting penalty becomes a punishment because now you can't do anything else wrong, either player in this case, or you're done. But we know that's not going to happen in the NFL because the NFL Players Association would never agree to that.
And we're out of time. I hope everybody has a great holiday.
Am I wrong?
The Players Association wouldn't agree to that, even though it's the proper way to go. And where if a guy gets a second unsportsmanlike, he's out of the game. I think that would be obviously reasonable. You have to get a little bit of it under control, without a doubt.
We have seen some ugly, ugly incidents in the last couple of weeks in the National Football League. And I have to ask
the
question.
This is all, by the way, part of our sports bozo of the day. So our sports bozo of the day is Josh Norman for his part in all of this, because evidently people who are around the league in terms of what Odell Beckham was saying, his actions are absolutely wrong. But I guess people around the league are saying, by the way, Beckham's the one guy in this that isn't lying either. Interesting, isn't it?
I think he, as a person who watches the NFL on a regular basis, I have to ask.
You only watch one team.
That's not true. I watch Red Zone an awful lot.
Yeah, okay.
Is the sheen coming off of the National Football League?
It should be, but for whatever reason, this has been a Teflon bulletproof league. The ratings are higher than ever before. People are watching. Take, for example, Saturday night, the Eagles are going to play the Redskins. The game is going to be on NFL Network. Well, you know, it's December 26th. It's the day after Christmas. It's a Saturday night. People are relaxing. And I'm telling you, they're going to gather around TV sets, and they're going to watch that game because, guess what? We're going to have leftovers from Christmas. I want to put my feet up. It's a Saturday night. It's part of my four-day weekend, and they're going to watch. Because it's going to be a rivalry game with stakes where the Redskins are in first place. And the Redskins do have a national following, more of a national following than the Eagles do. And plus, people like to watch the Chip Kelly fugitive train wreck happen. They're going to watch. People are going to watch. What's the Sunday night game this week? What got flexed to Sunday night this week? I mean, they'll watch that, too. What's the Sunday night game?
I don't know. I have to look it up. I don't remember either.
Okay. Look it up.
I'm looking it up as we speak.
The Vikings and Giants are the Monday night game. You got Adrian Peterson. You got Manning. And we don't know what the situation with Beckham is.
Let's see. Giants-Vikings.
No, that's the Monday night game.
No, Monday night I thought was Bengals-Broncos.
Bengals-Broncos might be Sunday night.
I think it's Giants-Vikings on NFL Network, according to the Week 16 schedule at NFL.com.
He's getting advice in the background.
Good advice.
That tells me we are headed toward the abyss.
Jennifer has confirmed that Sunday Night Football is the Giants and Vikings.
It's the Giants and Vikings? Well, they're going to watch because of the Beckham thing.
Well, yeah.
They're going to watch. They're going to watch.
I'm just saying a little bit, there's a little tarnish on the NFL now, and I think the Christmas Day movie is going to really hurt the NFL.
What tarnish? Here's the tarnish. What will be the number one show for the week?
Well, I'm not...
Will be the number one?
I'm not debating with you.
Answer my question. What will be the number one show for the week?
It will be the Sunday night game on primetime TV on network television.
It'll be the Giants and the Vikings. All right? What will be the number one rated show on cable for the week?
That will be Monday Night Football with the Bungles and the Broncos.
It might be... It actually might get beaten out by...
Eagles-Redskins?
Eagles-Redskins. But it's going to be a 1-2 between them. I think ESPN, because of reach, will get more viewers. In terms of level of game, the NFL Network will challenge them. But I think ESPN, you're right, will still win because of that. Those will be the top two rated shows on cable for the week. And by the way, there's a Thursday night game this week, too.
Chargers-Raiders.
I mean, the NFL... Chargers and Raiders on Thursday night. That'll be the third rated show for the week on cable. It'll be third. And that's not the sheen coming off the NFL. The concussion movie will have us talking about concussions again and may help in spur lawsuits. But I don't think it's going to have a single effect on the NFL at all, despite what people think. Number one, a lot of people aren't going to go to it. Okay? The number one movie for the week is going to be Star Wars. Star Wars will be the number one movie for the week, and it'll be the number one movie for the week by a wide margin.
I don't disagree with that, and I don't disagree that
You're going back, aren't you?
To Star Wars? Yes. I'm not disagreeing with you that it's not going to be the number one movie. I'm just saying that enough people are talking about this on other levels, not just the sports level.
Where?
It's become...
What other levels? This is a news item right now. No, look, it's not being talked about, all right, that much at the moment. I mean, I think you get locked in a little bit. You got to kind of get locked in toward the real world here. What's being talked about? People are worried about going to New York City. High alert. I just witnessed an awful, not witness, but was around very close to an awful incident here. Right? Besides football. You got people traveling all over the country, Kevin, to go for holidays. To family, friends, and so forth. They're not going to be talking about concussions in the NFL, and they're not going to be talking about the concussion movie. They're going to be going to Star Wars. Just because it's on the cover of Sports Illustrated with Will Smith this week, it'll spur some discussion and more discussion. Concussions, I've talked about concussions now for 20 years. 20 years I've talked about this. When I had John Fury on talking about Margo Patukin, who do you think's the one that I talked to 20 years ago about all this? Dr. Margo Patukian. I've talked about concussions all the time. I've discussed the issues of protocol. I've talked about watching players go through protocol. You two have never seen players go. I mean, you and Jennifer have never seen a single player go through protocol. Never.
Not at the NFL level, but I have seen a protocol done.
Right. Right. I mean, but I see it all the time. I see players go through protocol and how much they hate being on that bike.
Oh, yeah, I can contest to that.
Right? I mean, they you know, it's just, so, I mean, I see it. I've been around it. Okay? And you know, I know it's something that, for example, let's take, for example, a major campaign nationally. A major campaign nationally, John Stewart, Keith Olbermann, deals with the Redskins nickname. Okay? Where's the groundswell nationally about the Redskins nickname? Where?
Well, I haven't been able to figure that out for years, so...
No, I'm saying, where's the groundswell nationally where the national cry is like, hey, you got to do this, this is awful. And we can debate whether it's right or wrong. I'm just talking about where's the national outcry. Concussions in the NFL, where's the national outcry? The Mike Webster thing, which is the basis for all of this,
right,
is awful. Right? It's awful. What happened with him? And so forth. What happened with Dave Duerson? Awful. What happened with Junior Seau? Awful. So when something like that happens, it's brought to the forefront. The movie's coming out on Christmas Day. I think there'll be some people that are going to go to it, because a lot of people do go to movies on Christmas Day. But exponentially, people are going to go see Star Wars.
I'm not disagreeing with you in saying that it's going to hurt the NFL as far as viewers. I'm saying right now the image of the NFL is going to be different because of this movie and because of the way the NFL is portrayed. That's where I think the NFL needs to be concerned.
How different was the image of the NFL after North Dallas 40?
I can't attest to that because I was too young when that came out.
I mean, it showed Dallas and it showed the cold-hearted nature of the business. It showed them getting shots or not taking shots before games and things like that. And the injuries and the knees and so forth that they go through. It didn't deal with concussions. And guess what happened? The NFL kept thriving. I mean, it's just... I'm glad we have... I mean, the research done on concussions has been extremely important. Instead of, hey, I got my bell rung, boom, smelling salts, okay, snap them out. I mean, everything's really changed in the game. No water at practice. Salt pills in practice. Well, now, hey, look, you get all the water breaks you want. You can't have consecutive 2-a-days, things like that. We're smarter about doing things now. Much smarter. Do we pay a little bit of a price for smarter? Tackling in college and pro football is worse now because there's less contact in practice. All right? It's worse. You do a lot of thud and tag off and things like that and get yourself in a position, but don't complete and wrap and throw somebody to the ground. They don't want people on the ground. Why? They're trying to be smart about this. Everybody is trying to be smart about how they practice now. There is not as much contact in practice as people realize. There's just not. Contact in games, yeah, it's a fast... You know, these people are faster, stronger, and so forth, and the contact is violent. The helmets are probably better than they were before, but you're never going to have a concussion-proof helmet. You're just not. But there are concussions in other sports. Soccer. There are more concussions in soccer than there are in football. You don't have head protection. Hockey, they're finally wearing headgear. You know, all these years. You know, basketball gets concussions. And you think it's going to hurt them and affect them? I say no. I say that people have their viewing habits and... I don't think it's going to affect them. I think what affects the NFL more are franchises moving. If you don't agree with any of this.
think it's going to just be the downfall of the league because
No. You, now you're taking it to an extreme. No, I don't think it's going to be the downfall of the league. What I
just
do,
I just explained 4 years of you in the show.
What I do think it is I think it's going to tarnish the
league. You can laugh at that. Jennifer, you can laugh at that.
I think it's going to tarnish the league. I don't think it's going to be the downfall of the league, but I think what we see right now in the NFL, I don't think we'll be looked at the same way when people start talking. Listen, all you need is a handful of people to go see a movie and start talking about it, especially if you're a football fan. And then all of a sudden it becomes a news story about the movie, Kevin. Not just the movie.
Kevin. Deflategate would have done more to tarnish the NFL than a movie.
I think the Deflategate did do some things to tarnish the NFL. I think the issues with the players have gotten a lot to tarnish the NFL.
The ratings are higher now than they were last year. The ratings are higher.
It's not an instantaneous thing, Steve. It doesn't happen overnight. But I think you're going to end up... I honestly believe people will look at the NFL differently.
To me, there is one thing that could tarnish the NFL. You know what that is?
No.
It's not a movie. Okay? The movie is going to have decent box office, not great. Star Wars will crush it. Okay? Deflategate won't hurt it. There's one thing that can hurt the NFL above all. And that is a strike or a lockout that takes away games in the regular season.
No, I agree with you there.
All right, that's it. Once the greed factor is played and games are taken away that you can't watch it, people will figure out they can live without it and don't need to watch it. Baseball did itself in with that. And that's the one way you can do your league in.
Well, to me, baseball did it with PEDs and the strike. That the PEDs were what put it over the top, in my opinion. But the strike really killed everything. You're right.
We will come back with more in a moment and wrap it up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Kevin thinks a movie's going to do in the NFL.
Not exactly. I think it's going to tarnish the NFL.
Kevin and Dan Levitard stand alone.
There is a great line, though, in the movie, and I've only seen the trailer, where they own Sundays when it used to be the church or something like that was the way the line was. I'm like, that's a good point. That's a really good line.
They own a day of the week. They do. Now they're warping into Thursday. They've already got Monday. I mean, they're going to be on Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday this week. Incredible, huh? And that's going to be incredible. But again, you got to remember, you talk about like concussions, all right? I'm in a town here where on July 9th, they're going to have a major MMA event. And, in fact, it might be Rousey home in the rematch.
Yeah, right? I looked that up, and I forgot to tell you, Steve. Yeah, that is a full event slate, and that is supposed to be the headliner at this point. That's what they're trying to make the headliner.
Right, which is in the arena right here in the back of the hotel, all right? The new MGM Arena. Well, guess what? Guess what you do in MMA, right? You go right to the head with no headgear, and it's become pretty popular. And you don't have people saying, hey, what about concussions in MMA? What about... No. They don't.
No, Will Smith boxing's on another the cover one.
Will Smith is on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Concussions are a major issue to talk about. No question. The NFL got off a little light on the first lawsuit. They may not get off so lightly this time. But is it going to kill the golden goose? No. A strike would, and then over the years filtering down with fewer and fewer young people getting into the sport. That's where the NFL could run into some trouble, where fewer and fewer young people are getting into football and more young people are getting into soccer. That could hurt the sport. A strike or lockout could hurt the sport.
those are the elements that can hurt the sport. And other than that, there really isn't much that can hurt it. You had an entire year of bad, clumsy publicity on Deflategate. I mean, very bad, clumsy publicity on Deflategate. I mean, clumsy beyond words, where it became almost comical. Second the game started, everybody's watching TV and going to games again. They're talking now about what to do with the rights for streaming. More money. Kevo, you're the best. Merry Christmas to you and your family. You're
Merry Christmas as well. Safe trip home. A good call tonight.
12:45 a.m. flight awaits after tonight's game.
The definition of red eye.
Christmas Eve in the air. I'm flying with Santa. I understand. In fact, I may pass him in first class. He deserves it.